Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You can get a hold of us and tap the line with Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. As always, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Colton Stone is in today. He has not added another tattoo yet, but maybe next week the left bicep will get some love. We are loaded up. Mitch Sherman will join us in 15 minutes from ESPN. BTN Buffet Time. Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network in 1 hour. And our favorite recruiting man, Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. Tuesday trivia with Applebee's coming up at 5:40. Plenty of thoughts from Danny Langsdorf after practice yesterday. And we'll get some words from the Pirate, Mike Leach. He hates his offensive line, apparently. Sometimes sugarcoating's overrated. And let's just go there for a second. The news dropped and came out not long ago about the Big Ten schedule in 2020 and 2021. Why do I care? Well, it's Nebraska football, and who is Nebraska playing? How much of a death march will the road schedule be? All that good stuff. So it gets my attention. But what gets my attention more is Black Friday. You can go to Hail Varsity on Twitter and vote in the poll. Are you upset that Black Friday is no more as we speak now? I saw a tweet from Tom Chattel, paraphrasing it. It's kind of part of Nebraska's history. Do you fight to keep it if you're part of the administration? Now, the way Black Fridays have gone recently, whether you win closely or you get curb stomped, it's a physical game. And you're getting Iowa at the end of the year after being beaten up or injured, just like they are. So I'm at a loss. It's something I've known my whole life growing up is, what are you doing Friday? I'm going to the game. Or I'm watching the game. And to not have it, and to now have Minnesota on a Saturday in 20 and 21, no thank you. No thank you. Not down with this at all. You have Iowa and Wisconsin. They will be playing that final weekend. Is this punishment for saying we're good, we don't need to see Purdue or Illinois on Friday nights? Did the Big Ten respond by saying, fine, all good. You won't get any more Fridays. From a showcase standpoint, you are one of a handful of games on Friday. And from a branding standpoint and an exposure standpoint and some sort of normalcy, for the love of God, you need to be playing on Friday. Do you need to be playing Iowa? I don't care about Iowa, but it's kind of grown on me, and Iowa is something that is now a challenge. They're better. As we speak right now, they have more West Division championships. They have more, or as many, Big Ten championship game appearances. And by 2021, it would have been a 10-year little rivalry build. It could get there. You've lost Oklahoma. You lost Colorado. You had to replace it with Iowa. And now you have nothing. Now you have Minnesota. It's going to rotate, but you need to fight to keep that Friday a thing. And if you can get Wisconsin, great. If you're trading Iowa for Wisconsin, fine. If you're trading for Minnesota, no. The only joy you'd have as a Nebraska fan is stomping Mr. Motivational Speaker. And right now, the way the defense is playing, that seems like a challenge. Assuming he recruits to a high level there. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. 5865. Do you have to keep a Black Friday game on the schedule? Do you want it kept on the schedule, even if you're trading out Iowa for Minnesota? Do you care? You're still angry and out of booze from the first half of Oregon. This is a punch to the face, not the schedule per se, but the fact that it is now off the table. And I just don't think that's a good idea. If you're asking coaches and you're asking players and the turnaround and the way it's been stacked, you've closed a lot of years with Iowa as the final game. You start off that rugged stretch in the West against Minnesota. Then you have Wisconsin and then Iowa. It's kind of been flipped around where Wisconsin's been a bit earlier in the year. That's fine. Those three in a row wouldn't want to be lining up on the line of scrimmage. Either way, because it's kind of been a round robin, not last year, not the year before, but 13 and 14 it was. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. So you look at 2020, you open up with Purdue, fine. You're at Northwestern, you have the Illini, you're at Rutgers, you have Ohio State. You will have played Ohio State eight out of your 11 years in existence in the Big Ten. Penn State, at Iowa, Minnesota. So you close with Ohio State, Penn State, at Iowa, Minnesota in 2020. And Riley will be here because he just got extended. It's a whole nother discussion, and I'm good with it from a recruiting standpoint. 2021, you're at Sparty. You have Ohio State. You have Northwestern. Michigan comes to town. Hey, Harbaugh, how are you? Haven't hacked anyone off yet. You're still here, hopefully. And also you have Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota. So did Iowa ask out of this? Did Nebraska ask out of this? I need some answers. I need a statement. Or did the folks who control the TV, did the commissioner, did they just kind of say, here's what we're going to do? And if I am Fox and FS1 and I'm making future plans for ratings, and I have a chance to grab Iowa and Wisconsin from a purely business standpoint deal, then I'm taking the two teams that it's come down to those two teams. Maybe Nebraska hasn't won enough in the Big Ten to warrant a Black Friday or a final showdown game within the division. But I think you gotta fight to keep it. If you're Nebraska, just because it's what you've known. And I know nothing is forever. I understand that completely. But this is one advantage from a perception and brand thing. I mean, even if, okay, Colton, you're how old? You just tried out for the football team. You're how old?
20.
20 years ago, carry the one. Okay, they were no longer... They were no longer in the Big Eight.
Right.
They were in year two of the Big 12. And it was now Colorado, Nebraska on Black Friday. You weren't alive when it was Oklahoma, Nebraska to end the Big Eight. That said, growing up in Omaha, you knew what? You knew about Nebraska, Oklahoma, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lived Colorado, Nebraska.
And Nebraska, Missouri, too, that, I guess, if you want to consider that.
But I'm saying just from a Black Friday standpoint.
Right, from the Black Friday standpoint, yeah. And, I mean, that's what you did on Fridays. That's you watched the game, and then you maybe went and did shopping later in the day. Or, you stay up all night.
I'm the happiest guy in America because my wife and kid go do their thing, and I get to watch football all day.
Right.
With a friend, my dear buddy Iowa Russ. We drink his beer. He drinks my beer when it's on the road in Iowa City. I'm good with that. But it's no more. And I think it's not a good thing for Nebraska. Let's get you caught up on the Hail Varsity poll question that's out there. You can go to Twitter and vote in this from a Black Friday discussion point. Maybe you're sick of this already. Maybe you don't care. Maybe it's not much to you. I think it's massive for Nebraska to keep this. Are you sad to see Black Friday go against Iowa? Okay? 50% of you, almost 1,000 votes, say yes. 50% of you, no. It's right down the middle. So is it a Black Friday thing or is it an Iowa thing? Maybe Iowa doesn't do it for you anymore. Maybe you're just annoyed and tired of them. I get that too. I do. But start beating them because they're in your way for the West. Wisconsin's in your way for the West. So more thoughts here on this scheduling issue. There needs to be some answers on this. And you'll get some answers shortly on this, I would think. And we'll stay up to date and pass along any information here. But listen, can you warm up? Okay, let's try it a different way. Say Minnesota and Nebraska agree to Black Friday. Is that okay with you? Does it suit you? And with Fleck in there, then you could make a good weekend out of it. Really good weekend out of it. Going up to Minneapolis? A little Juicy Lucy love? Just to prevent all of us from frostbite, maybe? They move it inside to the new Vikings Stadium? I think we got to get a phone call to Searles on that to make that happen, our favorite Viking. There is a comment from Eichhorst here. Since moving to a 9-game conference schedule, Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst, it makes sense from a student-athlete health, safety, and welfare perspective to play on Saturday. Man, I get the student welfare and athlete perspective. There's also some showcase things going on here, period. It's going to be cold, whether it's here in Minnesota or Iowa or Wisconsin. You have a 9-game schedule, so go back to 8. Keep Black Friday. You going to miss playing Rutgers? No. Can you punt one of your own interleague teams? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Big Ten's built conference games into schedules earlier this season, and there's an opportunity to open up against Purdue. That's cool. So Eichhorst has commented. Brandon Vogel with this news. HailVarsity.com. Goodbye, Black Friday. Nate is on hold. Nate, welcome into Hail Varsity. Nate, go ahead, sir.
My brother, how are you today?
I'm a little PO'd. I like Black Friday. I like football. It's not Mississippi State or LSU, Arkansas.
Right. So to me, munching on a quesadilla here. So the problem here is I was useless. That rivalry, it has not come to be what it was supposed to be on either side. I think both fan bases kind of fake it. To try to be cool, but nobody hates each other. Nebraska.
I don't think they care. I think they're annoyed. I think they're annoyed with each other. Iowa, Nebraska is annoyed with each other, but they don't have to see each other.
Right. The hate rival is Wisconsin. The competition rival, believe it or not, is Northwestern. We have played 5 really outstanding football games with Northwestern. I don't think it's debatable. And I'm not saying that they're on our level. Clearly, as a program, they're not. But they always seem to just get up for us, and vice versa.
Let me flip it around on you. Is Nebraska at Iowa or Wisconsin's level right now?
Talent-wise, yes. Coaching-wise, no. And to me, my thing is, this all goes back to the Big 12. The decision to Big 12 to join the Big 12 was literally when Nebraska decided to.
Let's hate on Texas, Nate. You got 2 minutes, kill them.
It's not even just about Texas, but for whatever reason, in the chase for the money, we gave up our power. And usually with money, you get power, but we actually lost power.
I'm going to correct you on something real quick. Nebraska willingly did not give up any power. Everybody turned their back on Nebraska when they joined the Big 12.
Well, we should have seen that coming. I mean, are we really going to say that Bill Byrne and Tom Osborne lack all sense of foresight?
No, they completely had it. But they got. I think they believed that the rest of the league would go with them, and the rest of the league saw us. All right, let's just side with Texas and knock Nebraska off.
Happened. That to me, and I guess I do have the benefit of hindsight, but just from a business perspective, that should have been a given that this was going to happen. Texas is the big TV market. No one gave a damn about what happens in Lincoln and Omaha outside of Nebraska. They don't care. This isn't a TV market. So, I mean, we lost it when we joined the Big 12. Then we kind of recover a little bit, you know, when Crouch shows up. And then we get rid of it all over again. And it's like they say the fan base is living in the 90s, but the business office is living in the 70s. And they need to wake up and start making more savvy business decisions.
Well, now we're here. Nate, I got to run. Thanks for the thanks, you brother. The Adidas deal and getting $50 million a year from the Big Ten was a good business deal. Now you're living with their scheduling, and you're getting the student athlete welfare and safety, which is, you don't sneeze at that, but you played it for the last 60 years, 50 years. And I know it's a new normal, new era. Nate, thanks for the call. But man, really? Health and welfare? There are short weeks. You do things for exposure in TV, like play two Fridays in 2017. So you have two short weeks. I'm just saying. I don't know. I will have no way to get out of waiting in line for discounted Beats for Junior now. I'm going to turn this into me and being selfish. Oh, you don't cook. We need a new crock pot they're giving you $20 to take it, dear? Really? Okay. Long live Black Friday football. Keep it. Mitch Sherman next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
About an hour 15, Tuesday trivia from Applebee's. Coming up, $50 gift card to you. You can get the appropriate answer, the correct answer. There's always an appropriate answer, but is it the correct answer? Worked up over the Black Friday, non-Black Friday schedule thing. I need to get out more. We'll get caught up with Rick Pizzo coming up. Greg Smith will hit recruiting. We'll talk some college football from Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter's where you find him. Mitch, how are you?
I'm good. Heading your way, going to come down and see Coach Diaco tonight after practice. So
really?
Excited about that, and I will be there soon.
Well, I can't wait to read it, man. That'll be a pretty good sit-down, I'm assuming.
It's going to be a stand-up with the rest of the assembled media. I just wanted to get his thoughts on how these first couple games have gone. It's been a notable start, I guess you could say, to Bob Diaco's tenure as a Nebraska defensive coordinator. Really, nothing has gone, I think, as scripted, but, where are they after eight quarters, I guess, I don't know, do we know more about the Nebraska defense than we thought we would after two games or less? Or it's just been kind of a puzzling beginning with all the things that have happened already to this team.
No, and I don't think you know much yet when it comes to the back four from a coverage standpoint, other than that they need to get better. I think from a front four standpoint or front three standpoint, and in factor in the linebackers, that front seven defensively, they've done well against the run for the most part, but passing's been an issue. Getting off the field on third downs is an issue, and you've seen a lot of transitions. You've covered a lot of college football. Where's Nebraska at, in your opinion? Are they where you thought they'd be? Are they further behind? Do you think they're making some progress based on that second half against Oregon, although Oregon helped, in my opinion? Where are you at with them?
You know, I'm not going to throw a lot of stock into that second half, and that's not to, you know, try to beat the negative horse here, because, I think you can look at that and you can find things that are encouraging, but, you know, let's be realistic about what it was. It was Oregon playing tentative, and it's a team that, in Oregon, that's going through more newness than what Nebraska is, arguably, and posed with, you know, given a 42-14 lead at the half. I'm not sure that Oregon knew how to react. Nebraska actually came out in the second half with a psychological edge, especially as soon as one thing started to go its way. And, you know, once it became 42-28, I think Oregon was a little caught off guard and there was a growing process going on for Oregon there too. Now, if Nebraska had done that to, let's say, Wisconsin coming up here in a few weeks, I might look at it differently. But I view that through a different prism because of what Oregon is, and Oregon is a team also like Nebraska trying to find itself. So take it with some guarded optimism and say good for Nebraska for not getting blown out, which is a really weird thing to say, I guess, against an unranked team on the road and a team that you beat a year ago with a first-year head coach. So not jumping up and down at all. And I don't remember what your original question is, but
no, I mean, defensively, are they where you thought they'd be? Are they worse? Are they better? Or are they just them right now?
They're worse, I guess, because you still gave up 42 points in week two. You still gave up, the defense gave up 27 to Arkansas State. I don't think I expected those to be the numbers. And I do think in today's age in college football, you have to throw away the yardage a bit. But I was just looking at it, especially those first three halves, looking at it from the perspective of it's just a simple question. Did I expect Nebraska defensively to look better than what I have seen through two games this year? And I think I would answer that question with a simple yes.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, with Nebraska here, offensively, let's go to the other side of the ball. Coach Langsdorf was pretty adamant last night that, you know, you didn't play that great.
No.
And you still put up 35. And moving forward, do you think the offense is where they need to be heading into a third game? Because I think you can overreact through two games. By about game three or four, I think you kind of know what you're going to be. And from a run game standpoint, as long as Bryant's been toting it, injury, you know, included in on this, but they've been pretty balanced. I think they've done well running it. I didn't expect Lee to struggle or press like he did. Did you think he'd have a better game against Oregon?
I didn't necessarily think he'd throw four picks, but I didn't expect him to come out and look like a first-round draft pick. I've thought all along through the mountains of hype that we've heard about Tanner Lee in the offseason that he's eventually going to get there. He's eventually going to get close or all the way to become the kind of player that people expect him to be. I really like his skills, but I always expected it would be a rough road. Not necessarily what we saw out there on Saturday. He made some nice throws, and he had some receivers that didn't catch everything that he threw. But the interceptions, well, at least three of them, there was one that went off of some hands that is hard to blame on him. But three of them, and the one at the end, he'll learn from it. But I would say that Nebraska are they better than what I expected them to be on? Well, that's the same question we did on defense. Are they better than what I expected them to be on offense? I'd say no, they're probably right about where I thought they would be or where they should be on offense. But the way that they've gotten there and the way that some things have, the way that some of the breakdowns have occurred, some of the penalties at inopportune times, I didn't think you'd see that. I didn't think you'd see a senior wide receiver jump off sides to negate a first down at a key moment in the second quarter when the momentum was going against you and you needed everything you could get on the road in that spot. And I think that you can over-magnify that mistake that DeMorne Pearsonell made on a play that didn't even involve him and was never going to involve him. But it's a mental thing, and it's something that the older guys on your team, whether it's offense or defense or special teams, whether it's recovering an onside kick when you need to recover an onside kick in week one, those are things that are more disheartening probably than the interceptions and the yardage they've allowed, and even some of the breakdowns defensively, because they're mental and they're things that you need to be doing better 3 years into this coaching regime.
They need better play and attention to detail from their older guys, period, and they didn't have it consistently for four quarters against Oregon. I think that's one thing that's still eating at them based on Riley's tone in the presser yesterday. Mitch, let's talk Black Friday, and Sammy McEwen just tweeted this out. So I was all worked up. Just it's change, and it's weird for me growing up in this state, going to Oklahoma, Nebraska as a kid, going to Nebraska, Colorado as a college student, and then, okay, so you have Iowa. Not that I care that much about Iowa, but the Black Friday spot and brand for Nebraska. I mean, it's been alive and well for a long time, and it's going to go away because of the new schedule. Sam tweeted this out. I want to give him credit for it. Big Ten Conference Commissioner, Assistant Commissioner Rudner. It was a unanimous approval from schools rotating end-of-season opponents. And the request there is if Nebraska and Minnesota want to get the game on Black Friday, they can talk to the Big Ten about that. Listen, it was always a tough finish. The way things had been slated, a lot of it had been Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then Iowa to close for Nebraska. What's your reaction to this as a kid, a guy who grew up in the state of Nebraska seeing Black Fridays?
You can call me a kid. Black Friday, and even, you know, if you go back for my time, Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's football. It's been a staple of Nebraska football to play before Saturday on Thanksgiving weekend, and I think it's part of the identity of the program. I think that it's always been a good thing for Nebraska's brand to be able to be out there in a game by yourself or close to being by yourself before Saturday hits, and it helps with your exposure. It helps with your recruiting. It just helps tell people who you are. You're used to being able to watch Nebraska as you eat Thanksgiving leftovers or Thanksgiving dinner back in the 70s, and that's a big part of what Nebraska football is. So I think they should push to get Minnesota to agree and get the Big Ten to agree to do it on Friday. And if that happens, then I don't think it's that big of a deal, because I don't think the opponent matters that much at this point. If it was still Oklahoma or even Colorado, well, yeah, then there's more tradition tied into it. But Iowa, you're still going to have the Nebraska-Iowa rivalry, and they can still do the things that they've done around that game. But in a way, I feel like that Black Friday, Nebraska-Iowa thing has been forced down our throats a little bit since Nebraska's been in the Big Ten. I don't think it has to be Nebraska-Iowa. It's more, Black Friday is more about just Nebraska football playing on that day. So if you're playing Wisconsin or Minnesota or Iowa, whatever it might be, I think that's fine for Nebraska. But if it's Saturday, then I think you've lost something. Mm-hmm. I think you've lost something in the way that the foundation of what the foundation of your program is built on. And they'll survive. I mean, they're not going to lose lose fans or necessarily lose recruits because of it, but it just takes, it chips away at another thing that you built your program on, and that's disappointing to see if they get to 2020 or 19, whatever year that was, the first one, 2020, I believe, and you don't have a game that Friday.
Mitch, about 30 seconds, my man. What do you got rocking, my friend? The Diaco discussion, what else is coming up from you?
Well, hey, that's going to be my main thing for the rest of the week. We'll see what else comes up. I've got a trip planned this weekend for a cool story over in Iowa that doesn't necessarily involve football all that much, but you can read about that early next week. And otherwise, just watching Big 12 and Big 10 storylines and see how they develop. And we've got a lot of good ones so far. It's interesting in 2 days into this season or 2 weeks into this season to see the Big 12 do an about face from a year ago and be in playoff contention, albeit in mid-September, as opposed to last year when things were looking bleak.
Absolutely. Mitch Sherman, follow him on Twitter, at Mitch Sherman, read him, ESPN.com. Mitch, great to catch up. Thanks for a few, bud.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Mitch Sherman, he'll be checking in with Coach Diaco a bit later. Over 80 years, we've been doing things the Agri-Gold way. Over the decades together, we've built a brand that's truly different because of our knowledge, because of our passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer, our true partners, providing customers with the very best seed, always backed by a handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. We're talking about your friends at Agri-Gold, agrigold.com, 800-262-7333. Has Danny Langsdorf cooled off from his offense's performance? We'll hear from Danny. Coach Langsdorf on the way. Mike Leach, we'll hear from him shortly.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Mitch Sherman. 25 minutes away, Big Ten Network's Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo going to be with us, Greg Smith, and Applebee's Tuesday Trivia coming up at 5:40, $50 gift card for you. from your friends at Applebee's if you get the correct answer. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. The Hail Varsity poll question on Twitter. Are you sad Black Friday is going away with Iowa? Maybe you're over Black Friday. I am not. Need it for football. Okay, we'll have some thoughts from the Pirate Mike Leach coming up. Let's talk about Danny Langsdorf, the Nebraska offense, and Coach Langsdorf after practice last night. Let's get into this here as he reflects on Saturday's performance. What Langs think of that offensive unit?
We scored, you know, 35 points and didn't play very well, and that was the reality of it. We looked at a lot of our goals and situational football. We were terrible on third down. We did a nice job on our run average, and we hit some explosive plays, which got us some points. But you know, I thought that was a positive. But you look at the third down efficiency was really bad. We didn't complete enough balls. We dropped some balls. We had a critical false start. You know, we were sloppy, and yet we scored a lot of points, and I think that's encouraging. But we can play better than that.
Yeah, you can. And the inconsistency's been highlighted and circled a lot. And I'm going to give you some reasons why the consistency looked so all over the board. Okay? What did you have? You got speed and some talent, and above all, even in a new defense, aggressiveness from Oregon. Jim Levitt's there. Jim Levitt's pacing around like a caged lion. He doesn't care. He's your gym teacher in junior high. He's doing pull-ups with you in the bike shorts with the long socks. Okay? Maybe a fanny pack. Whatever. The guy could bench your house. He just said, yes, sir. Right? And the consistency was off base because of what Oregon was trying to do. That's what you're going to do on defense. You're going to try and dictate, not react. Well, you have Nebraska's defense reacting right now because they are unclear and not confident in what they're doing. They're trying. They want to do well, but it's just new and it's a headache right now. Oregon's, they got torched. They got beat up. They got shut out. They had some UNLVS-type runs put together on them by the Nebraska offense. But they kind of went down doing their thing, and that's being aggressive. Why the inconsistency? Well, your first down success rate, great write-up by Brandon Vogel. The hot reads. What are you doing on first down? When Nebraska got good numbers on first down, usually by the run, things were okay in the drive. They didn't. They got off schedule. They panicked. They got behind. Game over, or at least series over. Time to punt. Ball distribution. How many targets did Stan have? Like 11? 8 catches? He was locked into. Hoppus had about 3 catches, I think. He was probably targeted 6. DeMornay targeted 4 or 5 times. Had a couple 3 catches. An amazing touchdown grab. How many targets did the running backs have in non-screens? 0. How many times did the swing pass come alive? How many times did the check down happen? 0. Okay? Why is that? Because by the time you're done blinking, you're down 14. You put a drive together that's 95 yards, and you gash them for some big plays. You blink, another 7's on the board. Band's playing. Okay, the reason you have inconsistency is because you have a quarterback who knows one thing, and that is being down 42-14. Because he was down 42-14 a lot at Tulane. So what's his nature? Start slinging the ball around. Start trying to make something happen. Start trying to do something too much. Start pressing. And he did. And you'll hear from Langsdorf in a second that he did. So that's why you have some inconsistency. You got a guy trying to do too much because it's going all to hell in a handbasket for you as a game plan as a team. Offensively, you're doing okay, but you had some highs, some lows, and defensively, you had no answers. So offensively, you got to score and score every time you get the football to come back and even try and get even. So you had panic mode set in. And then in the fourth quarter, you weren't protecting him, and your running back goes down. And then it's Air Danny, because the trust in the running game wasn't there. And I like Wilbon, I think he's a good back, but he isn't Bryant. And you have very little diversity here with the run and pass down 7 or down 14. You got to score. So that's why you have some inconsistency. Danny is a throw at first guy as an offensive coordinator. Tanner Lee is a throw at first quarterback. And they both thrive when you've got a run game working on first down off the play action. Some of that was eliminated because of game and time and score, but some of it was because the defense didn't do anything to stop these guys out of the gate. They tried but couldn't do it because it's new to them. There's where your inconsistency comes from. Thoughts on Tanner Lee from Danny Langsdorf. And what type of Tanner are you going to see? Are you going to see a guy that can go into manager mode with sprinkling in some playmaking here and there? Or does he got to go gunslinger? Because he's had to be a gunslinger most of his college career. Tanner from Danny.
I thought he missed some throws. We talked about some of those that he missed. You know, I thought he was a little bit high on some stuff. And, I think that just settling in and playing a little bit, you know, he was probably pressing, I think, especially trying to get back in it. I think trying to maybe put a little bit too much on his shoulders. And I think he just pressed a little bit. But I think he made some plays, too. And he got us in some good situations. He got hit too many times, which affects everybody. We've got to clean up that.
You do. You got to clean it up. And the protection was here and there, but not always what you wanted. More from Coach Langsdorf coming up. Thoughts on the Fighting Huskies of Northern Illinois. I'm anxious for this game Saturday. Really. I'm not faking this. I'm not trying to get you to listen here shortly for your chance to win tickets on Thursday, but qualify now for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets. I'm really anxious to see how this team bounces back. Really, how do they shake out of this? How are they practicing this week? Who's going to be carrying the football? You got another speedy team that's going to come try and knock the block off of your quarterback. Shortly, your chance, Applebee's Tuesday trivia, Rick Pizzo in 15 minutes. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Did you pick this one, Colton? Good work. Little 80s love from Colton. Well played. Your chance coming up shortly to qualify for Nebraska and Northern Illinois tickets. We'll give those away on Thursday. Sauter Heyman giving you 0% interest financing through 2020. That's on the schedule, and I like that. Huh? 0% interest financing through 2020. Thank you, Rick. Check out the extensive collection of both Earthmind and Pure Grown Diamonds. 1 carat diamonds available for only $99 down and $99 a month. You are going to be the holiday, birthday, anniversary, I'm a good guy and you love me hero. Thanks to Rick and zero interest financing through 2020 on Earthmind and Pure Grown Diamonds. 1 carat diamonds available. Let me say it again. $99 down, $99 a month. Come on now. There's no reason you can't please mama. Give her what she wants. Be a hero to her, friends, family. Sauter Heyman voted best of the year. year after year, kind of like that whole Black Friday thing. It's been played year after year after year. Sauter Heyman, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, or out west with your friends in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Colton, did you watch the Donks last night?
Did I watch what? Sorry.
The Donks.
No, I didn't watch a whole lot of
football. The Vikings.
I did watch the Vikings because Dalvin Cook was on my fantasy
team. Sure, right. The Fighting Searleses got it handled. I got nipped in fantasy, but no one wants to hear about my fantasy. About Adrian Peterson. We'll have some of that here coming up. Adrian, you want to talk about a scary-looking dude when he gets fired up? Like the sideline camera shot of AP? I mean, he looked like he was coming across the booth and was going to face plant old Visor. That was nuts. That was crazy. And the post game was better. And then if you're Adrian Peterson, you're having the toddler fit in the toy aisle when the guy they draft from Florida State with, air quotes here, off-field issues, goes for 130 in your new pad behind that really good O-line with Sam Bradford looking like a Chiefs quarterback, throwing for God knows how many yards and touchdowns, looking like the number one pick he's supposed to be, like Alex Smith. How about both those guys, week one debuts? Incredible. And then you're Adrian, and you get seven touches, and you're a fumble machine. Now, Adrian's just crazy, I think. Just great athlete, amazing back. It's week one, and you're yelling at the new coach, who has a three-back rotation and really probably didn't want you. Caller 9 and 10, qualify right now. 9 and 10. Qualify right now for Nebraska, Northern Illinois tickets and those Blur Party passes. Caller 9, caller 10, qualify now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10, you qualify for Northern Illinois, Nebraska tickets and those Blur Party passes. Caller 9 and 10, we'll do another qualification next hour, the drawing Thursday. Caller 9 and 10 now. With Hail Varsity at ESPN.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time, Big Ten Buffet. Faytime, Mr. Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, what a weekend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm having a great week. You know, the stress is starting to set in a little bit as we get busier and busier, and the start of the meat of conference play is now, what, less than 2 weeks away? But as busy as we get in this business, as stressed out as we are sometimes, I'm guessing I'm not under as much heat right now as Bob Diaco. That's just a guess.
No, and you know what? It's that's a great take. Because you got everybody in this state going, you know, what's up with the defense? My Lord, 40, you know, end game totals in the first half on the black shirts. And then with a little help from Oregon taking their foot off, the defense did some things. They got better. They got more confident. They just look uncertain, obviously, of what they're doing, like they're thinking too much. There's talent there, but you got over 100 pass attempts against you, Rick, in two games and one sack. That'll be needed moving forward, don't you think? That pressure from somebody on the defense to rattle some quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have had too much time through the first 2 weeks, and they were two good quarterbacks, by the way, and you're going to face more talented quarterbacks as the season moves forward. Let's get into Oregon, Nebraska. What do you take away? The first half blow up or the second half comeback? What's sticking in your mind most?
I think it's the first half blow up because Oregon was able to do in the second half very little but I'm not so sure that they were trying to do all that much.
Right.
You want to score more points. They never wanted it to get to a one-score game, but they didn't have the same kind of intensity. They weren't running with the same kind of tempo that they did in the first half. That's human nature. That's natural to do that when you have the kind of lead that they had through 30 minutes. If somebody asked me, shouldn't I take some positives out of the second half? And I said, you know what? If I shoot 20 over on the front nine and even par on the back, I'm still 20 over. You don't get to erase the front nine, and you don't get to erase the first half. So, no, I don't take a lot of positives out of that. I watched a defense that was going up against an offense that runs with an amazing amount of tempo, faster than anybody else they'll see on their schedule, but other teams run with tempo, and you could see those linebackers trying to decide what to do. This is still new for them. I said this during the preseason camp when everyone was trying to tell me the personnel fits a 3-4 better. That's fine in theory, but when it gets in practice and you get it against a team that is running it every 10 or 12 seconds, those linebackers don't have the time to think about what they're supposed to do. They have to know immediately what they're supposed to do. They didn't. It left too many linebackers in coverage against those Oregon wide receivers on those little wide receiver screens or crossing patterns, and that was a recipe for disaster.
It was some bad matchups. Oregon's one of the fastest teams in the country, and they had some personnel matchups on defenders that are supposed to come downhill and stop the run. Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, what do you make of Tanner Lee, and what do you make of the Nebraska offense moving forward?
Well, obviously, Trey Bryant's injury is concerning. I know it doesn't appear to be anything that is major, but you need him to be at 100% because the rest of that running attack either doesn't get it or is in disfavor with the coaching staff. Obviously, Bryant is the guy that they want, and Bryant needs to be able to take some pressure off Tanner Lee. Tanner Lee looked terrific in week one, and in week two, you saw what happened when a quarterback gets the gunslinger mentality that folks in Nebraska, after a couple of years of Tommy Armstrong, are way too used to seeing. You can't throw that many bad balls. There were one or two more that easily could have been picked off. I don't care what the score is. I know you have to throw the football more. This is the situation he was in down at Tulane when you're down big points and you're throwing it all over the yard. But too many picks. It's that simple. There is no way, no way that Nebraska can get where they want to be if Tanner Lee commits multiple turnovers a game. Doesn't have to get to four. If he gets to two, there's no way this offense has enough talent around him to win games against mid to top tier competition inside the conference.
One thing that struck me, and we touched on this yesterday, was some of Oregon's young guys. Graham, the corner, was a true freshman, had a really good day against Stan Morgan. Stanley had a good second half, but a tough first half. You have Herbert, the quarterback for Oregon, has half a year under his belt, but he's still a sophomore. Those are two guys, two young pups that really did well. Dylan, their freshman wideout, I think didn't have 100, but had enough big catches on some of those gash plays against Nebraska's defense. And then you flip it around. Nebraska's young in some areas, Rick, but some of the upperclassmen really picked a bad day to have a bad game or not a complete game. And I look at DeMonte Pearson-L and I look at Stanley Morgan, two of your upperclassmen, a junior and a senior, and it was ripe. It was right there for DeMornay on that punt to maybe make something happen, maybe tie the game. He's done it in the past. Fair catch. He wants that one back.
No doubt about it. Now, Morgan played a great game, had a couple of nice touchdown catches, mm-hmm. but yes, your game breakers, especially in a game against a team like Oregon, where you know, even if you play good defense, you're getting into the 30s. Mm-hmm. This one into the 40s in the first half. So at that point, you need your game breakers to be able to make plays. When you go back and look at a season and you look at the close games, and Nebraska has had so many close games since Mike Riley took over, it usually comes down to one or two plays, and almost every time it is a play that is made or not made by the one or two guys on your team that are considered game changers. In that game, Nebraska didn't have that. Morgan, as I said, great game, but to your point, if Pearson-L makes one big play, whether it's that punt return or somewhere else during during that football game, maybe the comeback becomes complete. Maybe it doesn't, but those are the kind of things that get you over the hump when you're close, like Nebraska has been, but clearly not close enough.
Well, and Morgan and DeMorde were open several other times, and the throws were off, so it was a group effort.
Right, not all on that.
Yeah, for sure on offense. If you're Danny Langsdorf, though, you go 4-13, throwing the ball in the fourth quarter. Bryant's out. Kalu went out after the first half. Nebraska down with two of their key guys out. Still had a chance to make it happen. If you're Langsdorf, and you know Riley's presser yesterday was pretty insightful. Are you going to be able to trust that line and maybe another option at running back to stay balanced? That's one question I have.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and it's a question that you didn't really have to answer against Arkansas State because their defensive line was so small. Mm-hmm. You knew you were going to dominate there, and Trey Bryant was terrific. Oregon is not as similar in the sense that they have bigger, more athletic guys, but that's not their strength. So when you start to get into the league is when you're really going to know. I mean, October 7th, October 14th, you have Wisconsin, you have Ohio State. At that point, you are going to know in those two back-to-back weeks whether that offensive line can handle its own and whether that offensive line is going to be able to protect Tanner Lee and give whoever the running back is, hopefully for Nebraska's benefit, Trey Bryant, the opportunity to make plays. You're playing against the Wisconsin team in that October 7th game that is always stout on the D-line, and an Ohio State team the next week that many people consider to be holding the best defensive line in terms of a combination of talent and depth in the entire country. So will Northern Illinois, Rutgers, Illinois, will they be a litmus test in any one of those games? I'm not sure. You'll be able to obviously see signs, but we'll know for sure by October 14th.
Rick, wanted to get your take on Coach Riley's presser yesterday and just some of his comments, and he didn't get crazy angry, but he was frustrated in his voice and in his demeanor. It just wasn't good enough. He was disgusted. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, that was the first time that I've seen him like that, Chris, really. I mean, I'm sure that privately in the locker room, maybe more so to the local media, that he has been that way, but it's the first time that I've seen him nationally post-game. And remember, now this is a couple of days after the game, so he's had a couple of days to stew on it, and Mike is a very measured, calm guy. And to your point, he wasn't yelling, he wasn't screaming. That's not what he does. But he wanted to make sure that no one thought that they were leaving Eugene with a moral victory because of the way that they came back in the second half. And I think what he was doing was not just speaking to the media, and coaches do this all the time. He was speaking to his team through the media without having to bully them, without having to tell them that he was really disappointed. They hear him. They understand. The media is then asking them questions about Mike Riley's press conference on Monday. He's trying to get his point across, and I think he probably did.
Oklahoma and Ohio State, watched that one Saturday night. Baker planting the flag. Your reaction to that? Your reaction to what Oklahoma did, reeling off the final three touchdowns? This thing was going to be close, and again, we go back to JT Barrett, don't we? His inability to make some throws.
Yeah, and it's not all on JT. I mean, I do agree with what Urban Meyer said on Saturday and then reiterated on Monday. The offensive line did not give him the protection that he needed to make some of those throws. Receivers dropped a couple, but he missed a couple of wide-open throws and did not make plays that Ohio State needs him to make, and he has not been the JT Barrett that we expect him to be, with the exception of some flashes, since that phenomenal freshman year. That's just been the case, and the question has to be asked, did the Cardale Jones winning the national championship scenario get in his head? Urban says no. Urban says he's the best leader that Ohio State has had since Urban arrived in Columbus. He's one of the best leaders that Urban has ever coached. That includes Tim Tebow. So he has all of Urban's belief and confidence. I don't see any way, barring some type of unforeseen disaster, that he gets changed. I think the bigger concern is defensively. Greg Schiano is a veteran coach. He's calling plays as the DC for the first time, but he's played so much man, and even when they play quarters, Chris, they're playing press coverage quarters, kind of that Michigan State defense that Pat Narduzzi had so much success with back in the day, and you can only do that when you have talent at the corners. They lost two cornerbacks and a safety from last year's team among the first 20-something picks in this past NFL draft. You don't just replace that talent and run the same system. So I need to see an adjustment from what they're doing defensively, and I need to see the offensive line play better. If those two things happen, then talent like JT Barrett and J.K. Dobbins will beat out most schools in this league.
A few minutes here. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Rick Pizzo, you watch him on BTN. Give him a follow for insight on the league. You know, you mentioned the assumption here was you just going to reload at Ohio State, and that's an awesome point about what you're asking guys to do that are probably doing it at that level for the first time, playing behind these guys that have all gone to the NFL. Does Ohio State have a chance? Will they, if things get cleaned up on the O-line, in the secondary, with the quarterback, they still have Michigan and Penn State on the roster, or on the schedule, I should say. Could they still get into the playoff?
Yeah, I think if they run the table, there's a very good chance they get in, because that would include wins over Penn State. That game's at home. That would include a win over Michigan, who right now looks, I think, a little bit better than most people expected. Obviously, they have Michigan State, who looks like they're bouncing back from last year's debacle. I think they have a couple of tough road games in Nebraska and Iowa. I know the Huskers have not looked great right now, but the Hawkeyes seem to have found a quarterback in Nate Stanley. Next couple of weeks, though, I think it's exactly what Ohio State needs. They have Army, a one-trick pony this weekend, UNLV, who lost to Howard in week one, and then they open their second Big Ten game, I should say, against Rutgers before Maryland comes to town. So they have a couple of weeks to get healthy and get better. They have a bye week right before the schedule hits that last 5 weeks of Penn State, Iowa, Michigan State, and Michigan involved in four of those five games. So the schedule sets up nicely for them to try to figure things out. If they win out, if they finish 11-1, go to the Big Ten Championship game and beat the West champion, I would be very surprised if a loss to Oklahoma, a top five team at the time, keeps them out of the playoff.
Thoughts this weekend, Purdue at Missouri, Wisconsin at BYU.
Boy, I love Purdue. I mean, look at what Jeff Brohm has done. I know it's been a couple of weeks, but they look different. They have a different feel offensively. They're able to run some different kind of stuff with a two-quarterback system. I think they're improved defensively. Missouri's not a very good football team. Would not be surprised at all to see Purdue at 2-1. Wisconsin's defense will be better than BYU's offense. Cougars have really struggled moving the ball this year. Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor, if you have not seen him, one of the best freshmen in the country at running back. I think Wisconsin should be 3-0 heading into their bye week before Big Ten play opens for the Badgers against Northwestern.
What happens next for Northwestern?
That's the $64,000 question for Pat Fitzgerald, because they didn't just look bad against Duke. I mean, they looked horrific against Duke. Now, Bowling Green, we saw really struggle in week one against Michigan State. That's Northwestern's next opponent this weekend at home. That's a get-well game. And then Northwestern has a bye. And how about this stretch? They go to Wisconsin, followed by Penn State at home, a road trip to Maryland, Iowa, Michigan State, and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. In a six-week span, the Nebraska game, of course, in Lincoln at the beginning of November. I picked Northwestern to win the West at the beginning of the year. I jumped on the bandwagon after what I've seen in the first couple of weeks. I'm ready to jump off as long as there's a soft landing spot.
Well, make sure there's something soft out there. Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska, what do they do against Northern Illinois? What do you know about the Huskies? Are they vintage kill Huskies, or is this too far removed?
Yeah, they're pretty far removed now. I mean, they've still had success after Jerry Keel left, but not that kind of success. I do think, though, Chris, that they play such a different style than Oregon plays that you have to completely hit the reset button. I'm not saying you throw the Oregon game film away. You can't do that when you're making this transition from the 4-3 to the 3-4, but it's a completely different system. You have to be careful here when you change what you're defending to not suffer that paralysis by analysis. You can't overthink here. You are better. You have more talent than your next three opponents, Northern Illinois, Rutgers, and Illinois. You have more talent than those three teams. Play football. Play instinctive football. Try to be 4-1 before you face Wisconsin, Ohio State. Try not to outthink your talent.
Rick Pizzo. Rick, we'll catch up soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Chris. Enjoyed it.
Mr. Rick Pizzo, big thanks to Pizzo. Greg Smith is coming up. Caller 9 and 10 right now qualifies for Nebraska and Northern Illinois tickets and Blur party passes. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies now for Nebraska, Northern Illinois, and Blur party. Caller 9 and 10 qualifies now.
And now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some recruiting, some football. The guy who gives you both with Hail Varsity, Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV. Greg, one tier, two tiers, no tiers, many tiers. But the Black Friday news. How are you, sir?
I am very well, man. You know, one or two tiers on that. Like, and mostly it's not necessarily to do with Iowa. It's to do with the fact that it just feels like a part of Nebraska's thing to have that Black Friday game. And now that will no longer be a thing, and it'll be Saturday against, what, Minnesota. Mm.
Now, I will say this, being a glass half full guy, there's a lot of fun to be had in Minneapolis. That said, I don't know how much fun's to be had in Minneapolis at the end of November outdoors.
Oh boy, yeah, I hadn't gotten that far yet. That is a little bit of a tricky situation. You can have fun if you're willing to go out there and bundle up.
We got it solved. Move it to Friday, play it in Viking Stadium.
And with hand warmers. Lots of it.
Just move the venue. just put it inside the new monstrosity.
Oh, that would be something. Yeah, maybe Searles can put in a good word.
No, absolutely. We'll reach out to Jay. Listen, what with this, and we'll get to some recruiting. We'll get to Nebraska, Oregon, and Northern Illinois. But this just doesn't make sense. And listen, Iowa was growing on me in their black and blue games. They're physical. It's awesome, right? I mean, you were just getting used to it. Or if you're going to get rid of Iowa, give us Wisconsin. But we said this in hour one. You got to have that Black Friday. You've had it. You've done it for forever. Forever. Nebraska's played, and it's been a showcase. Not necessarily every year, but the opportunity was always there to be one of a couple of games of importance, or at least brand value, there for the world to see.
I just think you hit so many nails on the head, Matt, because I feel like the big sentiment right now amongst Husker fans is you kind of forced this whole Iowa deal on us when we moved to the Big Ten. We begrudgingly accepted it. We just started to get used to it, maybe kind of thought it was a rivalry, and now the rug gets pulled out from underneath us. And not only does the rug get pulled out from underneath us, we no longer have that showcase marketing venue or vehicle that we had before, having that game every Black Friday and having that kind of showcase where everybody, you know, either they've gotten done with their shopping, they're still on a little bit of a turkey hangover, and then they sit down and watch that game and Nebraska's on. Like, you take all of that away from Nebraska fans. It's a lot to take in at once that the whole thing is gone. You're right, it would have been different had they just taken Iowa away and given Wisconsin, or given Michigan State would have been an interesting one, because I still think that that rivalry was actually naturally bubbling up with Nebraska and Michigan State before you kind of went on the little bit of a hiatus of playing them. So, yeah, I just think it's a lot for everybody to take in right now.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Now, Greg, do you think, I'm going to put the conspiracy hat on, any of this retaliation for complaining about the Friday night games?
You know, I would hope not, and only because, and I don't think so either, just because Nebraska wasn't the first to do that. Nebraska tried to fall on the sword, so to speak, and be team players and all of that, right? Like, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, those schools, they came out right away very anti that whole deal. Nebraska tried to swallow the pill and tried to say, hey, we'll go ahead and do it for the good of the conference, and then they realized how much of a mess it was going to be for them. And Mike Riley had his comments at Big Ten Media Days, and then right after that, it was announced that they would not be doing anymore. So, no, I don't think they're necessarily getting revenge or payback for that one. If that was the case, there's a couple of more schools that should be ahead of Nebraska for that one.
What's your take on the addition of Mike Riley's contract and that extension?
You know, to me, it's not something that I paid a ton of attention to. It happened. I don't think that if we're in a situation where Nebraska's locked in or married to him forever, if in fact it's not going to work out, hey, listen, if he goes, say, 4-8 this year, and I'm not saying that that's about to happen, but if they go 4-8 this season, we're going to be having a conversation about his contract in a whole different way next year. So I don't think it really matters all that much. Go out there and win games, and it all takes care of itself.
speaking of winning games, Nebraska had a chance, a great chance to do that against Oregon. Riley's not happy about that. It sounds like the guys got back to work pretty well yesterday after practice. You'll have a practice report along with Hail Varsity tonight. All of that said, what's your takeaway on that Oregon game? Let's put it to bed finally. What did you see, and what did you think?
You know, what's interesting is that I had the exact same reaction that Mike Riley came to, and that when I first watched the game live, I'm thinking, oh, okay, cool. They made this nice valiant comeback. They really showed that they weren't going to give up. It's not going to be kind of the same old Huskers that we've seen in recent years where, you know, you get behind the eight ball and then, you know, things just snowball from there and really get away from you. We've seen that in a number of games over a couple of coaches, right? But then I rewatched that game and I realized, wait a second, Nebraska really did themselves no favors. You go two out of 14 on third down on the road, you're not going to beat many football teams. You have four turnovers, four interceptions. It's just going to be hard to win. You have bad timing with penalties. You don't really make any of your own breaks in a game and give and have so many busted coverages. You come back and you come out of that rewatch of the game really frustrated. And that's what Mike Riley expressed yesterday, as animated and kind of as feisty as you're going to see Mike Riley. And I think he knows that they let one get away. I know Oregon people won't necessarily agree with that, but I think when you rewatch that, there's no other conclusion to come to. But Nebraska really shot themselves in the foot in that game. But I like a lot the fact that Mike Riley and the staff and the players all seem to be a little ticked off about what happened up there and realize that they let one get away.
I don't think it was for effect. I think he was truly, if you would have got him in a closed door without any microphones, it would have been more terse, more frustrating.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think it would have been, if he had been able to let his true feelings out, it would have been even more harsh than it was, because there are questions that he was asked yesterday that were fairly benign. I mean, like, hey, what do you think about playing four of your next five games at home? And he deviates off into how they need to execute better, and they need, you know, it's unacceptable the way that they played. Like, it's interesting that he's feeling that sense of urgency right now, but I think it's something that's very much needed in this program right now.
Urgency's there. Will it be there Saturday morning at 11? Greg, what do you think of Northern Illinois, and what do you think Nebraska does on Saturday?
Yeah, Northern Illinois is always a team that is well coached. They always come ready to play, and they're going to give you their best shot. But I think Northern Illinois is coming to Lincoln at a really bad time. I think that you're going to have a lot of fired up Huskers and a lot of fired up Husker fans looking for Nebraska to put it to somebody. And I think that Northern Illinois, unfortunately for them, is going to be on the wrong end of that. I think that this is the week that you finally see Nebraska kind of put a full game together. I wouldn't be surprised. I think the spread is, what, at 14 now? If Nebraska covers that and really goes out there and tries to impose their will.
They better. They need to bounce back and play well and have some urgency and be physical and do all those things. And not so much about stuck in the past or hangover against Oregon. Just kind of come out and keep getting better. And when they've been good, it's been because they've been physical against the run and physical while running the ball. Do you agree?
No, I definitely agree, and they need to continue to do that, but they also need to start fast. Like, however that's going to happen, whether or not it's coming out and getting an early turnover, a special teams touchdown, a big play, something, it doesn't matter. They need to reverse this trend that they've had, where I think it's six of their last eight games, Nebraska has trailed after the first score. Six of the last eight games, I believe, they've trailed after halftime. Like, Nebraska has to find a way to come out and be the aggressor and be the one that's forcing the pace in a game instead of the ones that are so reactionary and waiting to have time to make these adjustments.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine at HailVarsity.com, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Let's talk some Cruton, and what was your take on Parsons' tweet, although he's apologized for it, a little armchair quarterbacking for the linebacker last weekend in Columbus?
Let's see. There's a couple of ways to go with this. If I were someone that covered Ohio State or was on the Ohio State staff or a fan of Ohio State, I would have hated this. As somebody who is not necessarily have any love lost for Ohio State, I'm loving it. Not only did he apologize, and I'm glad you mentioned that, he did apologize, but then he also yesterday spent the majority of the day retweeting people saying that he was right, that Haskins should go in for JT Barrett. I think that there's something going on there. It's probably more than just that quarterback situation where he said that JT Barrett should be benched. But I think that that's something that any small advantage that Nebraska can get in his recruitment, as he's like the sixth best player in the entire nation, Nebraska fans will definitely take that.
Greg, what's the latest recruiting-wise? What's in store, if anything? Pretty early start for this weekend, but what's the latest you got?
You know, actually, it's an early start, 11 a.m., and it's a Northern Illinois game, but it'll be surprisingly busy on the sidelines for the Huskers this weekend. They're scheduled to have four official visitors. They'll have linebacker from Minnesota, David Alston, who's a three-star outside linebacker prospect who's been pretty quiet throughout his recruitment, but Nebraska has been a player all along. He's been to campus over the summer. Nebraska stands in pretty good position with him. You'll also have three-star running back Chris Curry, who is currently an LSU commit and likes to pattern his game after beast mode Marshawn Lynch, so that's always something you like to see and something Husker fans would like. He'll be here as well. And then you'll have a pair of guys from Sarah out in California. Kobe Smith, four-star wide receiver, who has a similar body type to Manny Allen, a fantastic route runner for his age. He'll be here along with his teammate Brian Addison, who's been a real mystery this recruiting cycle. Fantastic athlete, four-star athlete, could play either safety or wide receiver in college. 6'5 kid. Those two come from really great program out there in California. They'll both be here. So you'll have four total official visitors just as of right now. We'll see if there's any surprise visitors, but it's going to be a surprisingly busy week out there on the recruiting trail for the Huskers.
Greg, about a minute left here. Are you anywhere Friday? And two, this non-running back committee, is that a good sign to potential future running back recruits?
I will be out on Friday at Omaha North to see them take Lincoln Southeast. So see 2019 prospect Xander Gray for Omaha North take on Bryson Williams, the Wisconsin commit. Looking forward to that. Get some trench warfare out there on that one. But then I do think that this Trey Bryant becoming a feature back in Nebraska, showing that they can do that, will really help with future running back recruiting, because it shows that they have an idea of how to actually put that together at Nebraska.
Greg Smith, read him and follow him, HailVarsity.com, at Greg Smith, HV. It's where you get him on Twitter. And he and the gang at Hail Varsity will have a full practice report tonight. Keep Black Friday. Keep that chant going. Greg, we'll catch up soon, my man. Thanks for a few.
Hey, not a problem, as always, man.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, I just broke the news to the boss man that Black Friday is sayonara. He isn't happy. Oh, okay, he's not happy at all. But he's not happy with that versus me, opposed to me, which is good. The Pirate Mike Leach in all his glory coming up. Pirates, what are favorites? We're lucky to have the Pirate. I can just imagine how he parented, you know? I get how he coaches and goes after it. So there you go. Get in line, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Those are the numbers to get in. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Do so to get in line for Applebee's Tuesday Trivia. We'll get to the trivia question here in a second. Tuesdays and Thursdays only with your friends at Applebee's. 50-cent boneless, 55-cent bone-in wings all day. Dine in or call ahead for car side to go. That sounds like a plan. Without further ado, let's get you the trivia question. You get this right, a $50 gift card is yours to Applebee's. We were at the North 27th one on Friday. It was marvelous. The wings were awesome. Okay. I need to know how many Huskers are on NFL rosters. I'm not asking to name all of them, but I need a number. And if you get it right, it's Tuesday Trivia from Applebee's Reward. That means you get a $50 gift card to Applebee's. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Colton put them through for their fame or for their shame. That sounds like a plan. Maybe we'll have a winner. Maybe we'll have someone take a swing and miss at the plate. And I need glasses. Brett? Is that Brett? All right, let's keep the Animal House theme going. I know it didn't go well in Oregon, even though it was filmed there. But it was good. You've seen Animal House? Good. Good answer. You had a problem with that answer the last 2 years. No, I haven't. Brett, you're on. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good. How many Huskers are on NFL rosters in 2017?
Seven.
Seven? No, sir. Seven? You had, who'd you have playing for Denver last night? Zaire, Jared, and Jano. There's three. Searles is four. No. I need glasses. Aaron is with us on Tuesday Trivia with Applebee's on Hail Varsity. Aaron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Thanks for calling. Do you have a number
Absolutely.
For me?
I'm just gonna throw out number 25.
Aaron, you're the smartest man alive. Beautiful. Yeah, 25.
Yeah.
That's active in IR.
That's
and
awesome.
Suspended, and I mean, there's only one dude suspended. We love him anyway.
Yeah, true.
25. Hang on the line.
Wow.
$25
right.
gift card. Well played,
so
Aaron. Good work, brother. Hang
Thank
on.
You, sir.
All right. He'll be on hold. Brett has been. Can we? Yeah. We're going to ban Brett for a week. Seven? How many times Ferris Bueller skipped school? That was nine. Seven? All right. Good work, Aaron. Throughout the 25. Yes, you have 25 Huskers on NFL rosters. 19 active. Three players on practice squads. Riley. Stanley. Stanley's a second-round pick. This is like his fourth team, and he's on a practice squad. Nate Gary with Philly. And I hope somebody calls Kenny Bell soon, because I like Kenny. But yeah, 25. There we go. All right, congrats to Aaron for getting that number correct. 25 Huskers on NFL rosters. That is good. Okay, so we will get to Mike Leach here in a moment. Now, what he had to say. And do you like this? Do you need to be taking the high road if guys aren't performing? Do you need to be taking the, it'll be okay, when maybe it won't be? And Leach has done this marvelously. He's told stories of finding out Santa wasn't real to us, or his trip to Cuba and the beauty of the island. And I'm not talking the scenery or the palm trees. Leach even told us about Roman candle fights and the option offense, not at the same time. That would be unique. But Coach Leach is not holding back. And he was asked a question about how disappointed he was in those big guys up front. The O-line of Washington State. Leach had his presser today. He'll be on with us next week. And he let that disappointment be known.
What in particular was the Boise defensive line doing to give the O-line so much trouble?
Lining up and just whipping them. Okay, so like if you were ever in a fight to handicap, you know, would any one of our offensive linemen? So pick whoever you think our best offensive lineman is. okay, if there was a fight to the death and you were to clean out this room and there were no rules whatsoever to be applied, so you pick out whoever happens to be your favorite of our offensive linemen, whoever you think's the toughest. Now, whoever's the softest of that Boise State D-line, you bring him in here, okay? And all that's going to be left of our offensive lineman is a grease spot in the end, okay? Because that Boise State D lineman will smoke our offensive lineman so bad, it'll be embarrassing. And if you don't believe me, just turn on that game the other night and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, grease spot, death match, no holds bar, clean out the room, clear out the room, cut four, six, running game, maybe. So Leach said some things about his running game in reference to his offensive line.
Do you anticipate leveraging your offensive strategy this week to be more along the lines of running the ball, since a lot of opponents have had a good deal of success against the Beavers in that regard?
We're going to try to run it some.
Drink of water.
If our offensive linemen get pounded again, we'll probably run it less. So we'll see. We'll see if they're as tough as the Oregon State.
Well, if we suck again, we're not going to run it. We're just going to air it out. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He's got a cookbook out, too. He's a award-winning author for Swing Your Sword and Geronimo, but he's got the Fat Little Girlfriend's Cookbook. Don't forget he published that bad boy down in Lubbock.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time. Good stuff from Greg Smith, from Mitch Sherman, from Rick Pizzo. Bad stuff from the Big Ten and Black Friday is going goodbye in the near future. I'll get over it, though. If you plan to drink tonight, get that safe ride home. And if you get caught drinking, well, get the checkbook out. You'll face a DWI that could cost you $12,000 in fines, in fees, in jail time. And you'll be required to install that interlock device on your vehicle. So if you're making plans to go out tonight or for the future, find that sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Chances for you tomorrow to get qualified for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets and Blur Party passes. We'll get caught up with Mike Schuhart tomorrow, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, and our dear friend Brad Edwards of ESPN College Game Day. Excited to get caught up with Brad, get his take. Really some brutal weekend games for college football, except for Louisville and Clemson. Louisville-Clemson's going to be awesome. Florida State-Miami postponed. Obviously, you understand that. Now, let's play this cut or no cut for Adrian Peterson, Sean Payton, the death look that he received on the sideline. Here's a little montage from your friends at ESPN.
A TV broadcast showed you saying something to Sean when he had his back turned. He turned back and said something to you. What was said there?
It was clear Adrian Peterson trying to get Sean Payton's attention, and finally he turned around.
I'll keep that confidential, you know.
Listen, I tell you, if we were in a heated exchange, he was into it. We were all into it. There was none that I could.
Okay, so heated exchange. If looks could kill, Sean would be dead six times over. That's how last night went. And the camera didn't catch Sean turning around and telling Adrian or asking Adrian if he wanted his baba or rattle. Here's the ballpark question. How long does this clown last in New Orleans? Another game? Does he go nuclear this week? Have they hugged it out? I'd take him. He's the $6 million man, and I mean that from a surgery and construction standpoint. I mean, who runs for 2G or 1800 after new knees? Him. That's it. and he's carried an offense with no quarterback. Problem is Sean and Drew are bros. They're going to throw it around because that's what they do and that's how they won. So you got to fit with them versus them fitting with you. And if you want to keep getting paid, you'll keep your mouth shut and do it. And to be fair, if you want to take pressure off a comb-over from Purdue, hand the ball off a little bit. Get him a running game. Get him a better running game. Adrian's 32. It's his last check. He's disgruntled. And he's hurt. The rookie went for 125-plus behind his old line. How many times do you get to open up against a team that said, we don't want you anymore because you're awful? That's his own fault. He blasted his line, his quarterback, his team on his way out the door. That's why he's in New Orleans. Tomorrow at 4, we'll find you with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks for listening.